Thanks for downloading this episode of Cork Talk with me, Tim Atkin. A weekly conversation with some of the most famous people in the world of wine.
This podcast is brought to you in partnership with Nomacork by Vinventions. Driven by a commitment to innovation, the new plant-based Nomacork Green Line offers significant improvements in wine closure performance. Thanks to a rigorous oxygen ingress rate, you can decide which cork is best for your wine, whether it's for young and fresh wines or for those with aging potential.
Germán de Cesare is Mr. Malbec at Trivento, making one of the most successful and widely exported bottlings of the grape in Argentina. Listen to us chat about the difference between the Primera Zona and the Ucovalle in Mendoza, the secret of producing a big blend, how Argentinian wine has changed over the last 20 years, and what it's like to cross the Andes on horseback.
Hi, Germán, how are you?
Hello, Tim, how are you? I'm fine, you?
I'm really good, thank you. I'm in London. I mean, you're where? In Mendoza, I imagine.
Yes, I am in my home, Mendoza, in Vistalba. You know very well this place, very close to the vineyard in Guardia Vieja Street, very famous street.
Nice place to live.
Yes, it's an amazing place to live because it has a very nice microclimate, especially during the summertime. Yeah. It's very fresh and nice.
But now we're in winter in Argentina, aren't we? Just tell us a little bit about how was the vintage this year, the 2021 vintage?
Well, the 2021 vintage was amazing. For me, the exact word is balance between yields, quality, and very healthy, because in February we received some rains that was a little bit dangerous, but after that, March was okay, and April, very good. So the quality is quite good, and we are very happy. And Fortevento was amazing in quantity, 40 million kilos.
Wow, 40 million kilos, and much yes. Cooler than 20, but so a little bit more like 19 in terms of style. Yeah, cooler vintage.
Yes, yeah. Yes. It was more similar than 19 in terms of balance, tannins, and level of alcohol, of course. Remember, 2020 was high alcohol, yeah. More warm, if you want. This was more cool. Even March and February, we see like 3 Celsius degrees less in the summer, in the peak of the temperature, less than 2020. So that makes that the harvest was more cooler.
Yeah, that's a big difference, isn't it?
Another important thing that yesterday, Friday night, and yesterday was very cold in Mendoza. It was snowing all the time. So you can see all the mountains, the Precordillera mountains and Ucovalle and Luján, very close to the vineyard, plenty of snow. And that is nice for our reserve, the water for the summer, no?
Yeah, plenty of rain.
People are very happy in the mountain now visiting, and it's not that common in this part of the city to receive snow.
That much snow, yeah. Listen, I mean, with a name like Di Cesare, it's obvious that you're of Italian heritage, but tell us a little bit about your background. I mean, everybody in Mendoza knows somebody who has a vineyard. Are you from a wine family? What was your background?
No, not exactly, but my grandfather arrived in Mendoza in 1950, more or less, coming from the Abruzzo, the L'Aquila in Italy, that is east part in the same line of Rome, in the Adriatic coast. And he was working when was a teenager in the vineyard, pruning, and that's it. But my uncle used to work in the vineyard with Luis Eschin, the owner of Diolo, so that is amazing. So my family is not involved in the wines, but I think that something special relate me with my family and the wines.
And Iolo is one of your famous vineyards, your most famous vineyard. So there's a connection there with your family, really.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, there is a connection with the family. Actually, I used to play with my cousin in the Olo vineyards because my uncle lived there in front of the house of the owner. But I didn't remember that. until I started working in Trivento. And Luis, the owner, told me, Pibe, you used to play with your cousin here. So that was amazing.
What a nice connection. Yeah. I mean, your first job was quite young, wasn't it? I think you were 19 or something at Vintera with Walter Brescia in 1999 or so. He's a very famous winemaker and a big personality. I just wonder, what did you learn from working with Walter?
Exactly. It was in 1999, 19 years old. And I think what I learned about Walter was the respect for the winemaking. I realized that this is not a joke. It's serious, because it was one harvest that I was working like an operator. But what I learned about him is when I saw him in the harvest, he was like very responsible all the time, looking for the quality of the grapes, looking, speaking with the operators, and always looking for the perfection in the winery. So I realized that this job is very serious, and you have to be very passionate. So that is what I learned from Walter, because I was very young. So in that time, I not make wine, only see and started to touch the real thing in the winery, you know?
Yeah. And then you got a job in 2002, didn't you, at Trivento. Is it true that your first job was working in the laboratory rather than in the winery?
Yes, it's true. I started in the laboratory, making the analysis, alcohol, sugar, but I tasted all the time all the samples that bring me to make the analysis. I think it's very important when you start to learn in the winemaking process, all the processes. It's like how do you know what happened inside of the tank in the fermentation if you never do pumping over? It's the same. So you need to pass for all the elements, for all the processes in the winery to learn, and then you can make better decisions in all the chains of production, no?
Mm. Yeah.
It's very important.
Trivento is named after three winds, isn't it? The Pola, the Zonda, and the Sudestada. Yeah. Just tell us very quickly about these three winds, and do they have an effect on the vineyards and the grapes that you grow?
Well, it's a nice name that is related 100% what happened in Mendoza in terms of weather. The polar wind is exactly what we received yesterday with the snow, and is the moment of the pruning time. Then in the springtime we have the sonda that helps to start the bud breaks and then the flowering and start grow again. And then the sudestada is in the last part of the harvest when we receive this. Peace in terms of wait for the right moment to pick the grape and the balance, the final balance to get the quality in the grape. So that is the meaning of the name of Trivento related with the winds that we have in Mendoza.
And it's also, Trivento is owned by Chileans, by Conchitoro, the Conchitoro group. I just wonder, is there a different approach to winemaking and maybe to life between Argentina and Chile? Because there's a big rivalry between Argentina and Chile. It's like England and France or England and Germany sometimes, isn't it?
I think that we are quite similar in terms of winemaking process and the philosophy in to make wines, because we share the same focus in terms of quality in all the lines that we produce in the different quality of wines. And then, of course, there are differences because we are separated for the mountain, the Andes, and show difference. And the Chilean and Argentina are quite different, but we are very, we work together. And I have very good relation with all the winemakers, with Marcelo Papa, that you know very well, Marcio, and we share all the time experience about what we have in the winery, new technologies, and of course each part of the land has their own characteristica. So not all the technique you can use in both sides. You have to adapt what is the best technique for the grapes. But we are very nice. There is like a brotherhood and very nice. And we are very happy to have this connection, no?
I think there's been a big... The Chileans and Argentinian winemakers have become much closer together over the last 10 years. I mean, your generation, you all work together.
Exactly.
Maybe 20, 30 years ago, there was a slightly more rivalry between them. Maybe now it seems as if they're on the same team almost.
Exactly, yes. I see the same, yes.
Yeah. I mean, when you arrived at Trivento, you worked with Manuel González, who I like very much, who's a poet, and he's now making amazing Cabernet Franc and other things at Andaluna. Did he pass on some of that passion for Cabernet Franc to you? And maybe the poetry? Are you a poet? I know you're a singer.
No, only music. But what I learned from Manuel, well, we are friends when we are young people. And apart from that, I am the godfather of one of his daughter, the smaller. And I remember Manuel when he was working in Trivento. What I learned about him was the patience, and how fix the different problems that we had in the winery. I remember that I saw him very concentrated, thinking. Maybe writing some poems in his head about what happened, but I learned a lot: techniques, patience, and passion too. And about Cabernet Franc, of course, my first Cabernet Franc that we made in Trivento, it was 2013. Of course, I inspired a lot in his sensation about this variety.
Yeah.
He knows very well about the Cabernet Franc variety.
I mean, a lot of your focus at Trivento is on Malbec, really. Just tell us what you like about the grape and maybe the challenges that are involved in working with Malbec as a grape.
Well, Malbec for me is a fantastic variety, very plastic, that adapts very well to the north of Argentina, to the south. You know, we have planted Malbec from Jujuy, Salta, Cafayate, and Patagonia. It's a variety that give you different faces, depending on the place where are planted, but always with quality. I think that now the new challenges is about our own vineyard that we are planted in different parts of Mendoza to know the potential. And of course, another important thing that I like in this moment is to contribute at the Argentina industry in terms of diversity. Many winemakers and many wineries are looking for what happened in different places of Mendoza, Uco Valley, Altamira, San Pablo, Valtadari. And I think that is one of the most important challenges at the moment in terms of go deep in what happened in these places in terms of Malbec, because Malbec, for us, is the driver that we use to know all these places. Yeah. It's the variety that are planted in all Mendoza and Argentina, and through Malbec we can discover, apart from the variety, what happened in small places, in small microclimate, depending on the soil and the altitudes. And of course, for Trivento represent the 70% more or less of production.
Of what you make, I mean, your biggest production is the Trivento Reserve, I think, which is amazingly successful and widely distributed. I don't know how many million bottles you make. I don't know if you can tell us, but it's one of the biggest Malbec brands in the world. Well, what's the secret of making such a large blend consistently? Can you tell us how you blend it?
Yes, but the secret is not a secret. It's... Number one, I think, is our philosophy in terms of winemaking. We focus to understand what happened in each vineyard or each micro parcel on each region in order to understand very well and make the best decision. Harvest time, winemaking, aging, Second is to have a very good team. We are more than 400 people working in Trivento with this important focus in Malbec Reserve. So we are in the same objective, in the same line. And of course, to be consistency in this quantity of wine, you need the grapes and you need the winery, especially the grapes. You don't. It's not easy to make a big volume of wines with quality if you don't have the same grape every year. So we need a vineyard that we can study for more than 8 or 10 years in order to be consistency in all the change. And then the winery is very important to have the volume, the enough volume to produce this quantity of wine, the technology and all the resources to produce quality. And well, it's a big volume, and of course we don't make in one shot. We make the same blend but in different stages, because it's impossible to, but it's the same wine when we taste and we decide the final blend. Yeah. We start a very slow work to blend to go to the bottle.
And what about Golden Reserve Malbec? How does that differ from the reserve bottling?
Well, the reserve is made by grapes coming from Uco Valley and Luján de Cuyo, but Golden Reserve is quite special because it's 100% from Luján de Cuyo, from four different places located inside of Luján that you know very well, that is Las Compuertas and Vistalba in the north side of Mendoza River and Agrelo Pedrel in the south side. And apart from that, we focus in very old vines, more than 60 and 70 years old. The idea is that you can feel the expression of Luján de Cuyo, as terroir, through the Golden Malbec Reserve. We pick by hands, small cases. The yields are quite low in comparison with Malbec Reserve. Mm-hmm. Malbec Reserve is about 13, 15 tons per hectare, and for Golden Reserve is about 7.5 only, yeah. And 100% aging in oak, but we are using not too much new oak, only 20% new oak, and the rest different uses. And another container that I like too much is the fullness, that we are using more or less between 5 and 10% of the final blend, not barrels, fullness.
Fudra, which are much bigger oak barrels, yes. Yeah? Yeah, okay, interesting. And tell us about Aiolo. You've told us about the vineyard that you played there as a child. Aiolo is your icon wine, really. Just tell us, is that all single vineyard?
Yes. Aiolo is a single vineyard located in Vistalba in the north side of Mendoza River. So you visited the vineyard, so you know very well. It's only 4 hectares planted in 1912. So it's a very old vineyard with the old system of canopy, guyot, and flat irrigation, plenty of olive trees, because it's a piece of the Veneto brought to Mendoza, because the owner is are coming from Veneto in 1895. They arrived in Mendoza and started to plant this vineyard, and they built a winery as well. And Aiolo express the quality, and for us, I never see a Malbec in Vistalba with this characteristic. Is amazing. It's plenty of color, concentration, amazing tannins, a lot of balance, a lot of silky tannins. And everything is because we have in this part of the world, this Aiolo vineyard, is the characteristic is unique, and is 100% Malbec with other identity. And that is what we want to communicate from this vineyard.
I mean, there are other grapes planted there as well, aren't there, in the vineyard?
Yeah, there is. There is just a little bit Semillon in whites, and then there are other varieties mixed that we don't know exactly what are. We think that they are Bonarda and a little bit Tanat, but very small quantity of plants. But the vineyard is Malbec 100%.
It's interesting that historically that's what people did, you know, especially Italians and Spaniards. They planted field blends, didn't they? Planted exactly. Lots of different things, bits and pieces, really. Yeah. I mean, you've talked a little bit about the difference between Lucco Valley and Luján de Cuyo, and you as Trevento buy grapes all over Mendoza particularly for Trevento Reserve. Do you think consumers appreciate how diverse the region is, how different the parts of Mendoza is? I mean, you go in Mendoza from Winkler 1, which is the equivalent of Champagne, to Winkler 5, which would be the equivalent of Jerez or North Africa. Do people appreciate that, do you think?
I think that through Malbec Reserve, it's more difficult that people appreciate all the diversity that the grape that we buy, because we 50% of our production, it is owned. 1,600 hectares, different vineyards. And then the rest of the grape, as you told me, we buy and with a lot of diversity. But I think that the consumer appreciate the consistency in quality, basically, in this wine, because it's made coming from different vineyards, of course. Malbec planted in Lucco Valley, in La Consulta, in Eugenio Bustos, in Tunuyán, Los Árboles, many places that we look for the typicity of course, all these places, but thinking that you are going to taste a Malbec coming from Mendoza region. That is the real focus in Malbec Reserve, that the people can drink a very good Malbec coming from Mendoza.
And what about the top level? Higher up, do you think people are understanding that Mendoza is diverse?
I think that we are in a good way. It's low, but we are in working that this kind of diversity people can know better and better. But I think it's more slow the way, because not all the people has the possibility to taste Malbec from Guatadarie in comparison to Paraje Altamira at the same time, and at least that they come to Mendoza and visit different wineries and have the possibility to taste. I think that we are step by step in this point.
Yeah, it's changing, isn't it? I mean, I think it's the big story of the last two decades really has been the development of the Lucco Valley. Lucco Valley is mostly higher. Than the Primera Zona, particularly Luján de Cuyo we're talking about. Do you think sometimes Luján de Cuyo is overlooked? Is it regarded as a bit traditional? Do you think by Argentinians, by winemakers, as well as by journalists? I mean, maybe it's our fault.
I think that was the sensation a couple of years ago. But I think that now there are many winemakers and many wineries that are... Again, working in this Primera Zona or first area that is very traditional, and speaking about that is not the new thing are not coming from only Lucco Valley, because we have planted in Primera Zona very old Malbec, and maybe now with another change of mentality, looking for more the expression. Remember that 10 years ago, Luján de Cuyo, we used to pick at the end of April and sometime May, and now Luján de Cuyo is picking at the same time than Guatadarie, for example, in the first or second week of March, and that is amazing. And that changed completely the expression of Luján de Cuyo as the we remember as very traditional wine with concentration and alcohol and not acidity maybe and not freshness, and now it's totally different. Yeah.
So the Lucco Valley has influenced what's happening in the Primera Zona, really.
Yeah, I think that the way that we work in Lucco Valley, we started to realize that way we can work at the same time in Luján de Cuyo, the same way. Huh? Mm-hmm. I think that there are new phases of first area at the moment that are completely different than the past.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you've talked about some of the old vine parcels you work with. If you're working with an old vine, I mean, not just in the vineyard, but in the winery, do you have to treat them in a different way, do you think?
Well, normally all vines give you more. It's more easy that the, for example, the extraction. When you have grapes coming from old vines, everything is more balanced and more easy to get the concentration and easy to feel the intensity. So you have to be very carefully, for example, in the winemaking process, the temperatures and the extraction, so more softer than maybe Yucco Valley, that maybe you need more punch in the pumping over. But I think that you see the grapes coming from old vines with another eyes, with more respect, maybe.
Yeah. So you have to extract less, maybe at lower temperatures. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. You have to be more carefully because normally are very concentrated because old vine give you low production, so all the concentration is you don't need to make something special to get the concentration coming from those grapes. So
interesting. When we've talked about Cabernet Franc and we've talked about Malbec, obviously, which is your speciality, really. But I wonder which other grapes do you think have the most potential in Argentina, both red and white, not Cabernet Franc and not Malbec, other grapes?
Okay, well, I think that we have, in terms of white, Pinot Grigio is quite nice variety. Depending, of course, the style of the wine that you are looking to produce. For example, we are producing Pinot Grigio for UK especially. It's very nice Pinot Grigio. But the important thing is that you have to pick at the beginning of February because it's the time of the freshness of the Pinot Grigio and not too much alcohol. It's about 11.5, 12, no more than. And then I think that is in terms of maybe volume, no? Volume, not too much volume because there are not too many Pinot Grigio planted, no more than 1,300 hectares in total. But it's a nice variety. And then the Semillon, I think that as variety, white variety as quality, I think the Semillon is quite interesting. Then the Cabernet Sauvignon. I think that in Argentina we have many conditions in terms of soils, poor soils, especially from Luján de Cuyo to Yucco Valley, and the altitude that is that we need to regulate the maturation of the Cabernet Sauvignon that we don't have, for example, the ocean influence that this variety needs, for example, in Chile, South Africa, or Bordeaux, this effect that regulates the ripening, we have here about the altitude, no? I think that we can produce very good Cabernet Sauvignon coming from our mountain.
I agree with you. It's interesting, isn't it, that most of the great Cabernet Sauvignon in the world is grown close to water. You think of Bordeaux, exactly. You think of Margaret River, you think of Chile. But in Argentina, it's very continental as a climate and very dry. So as you said, it's altitude that gives you the freshness in Cabernet.
Really. Exactly, yeah.
I mean, just talking about climate change generally, I just wonder how that's altering the wine map and your thinking as Trivento. Do you think we'll see more vineyards planted at altitude or in cooler places in the future? I mean, are you guys thinking about it?
Yes, I do. I think that in the future, maybe it's difficult to have a vision now in the next year, 10 years, for example. But many wineries are looking to altitude because the last five vintage, except 16, we saw that the January and February was very warm, and we have to pick the grapes earlier than other times, in order to respect the fruit and to have very good alcohols, not too much alcohol, balance and fruitness. And the other important element that give this is the place and the with altitude or latitude, no? For example, in Patagonia. So I think that in the next years, many of these places where we will study in order to have this important element.
So you guys, Trivento, aren't yet investing in the south, in Patagonia, or in Buenos Aires province, you know, Chapadmalal or any of those places.
No, not at the moment. But the last vineyard that we bought, one of the last, it was in the high part of Agrelo, very close to the mountain, looking for this altitude. Mm. And the problem sometimes you have to be very careful with the altitude because there is a very thin limit between frost and all the good element that give you the altitude. So that is very important to know. For example, La Carrera, 2,000 meters, there are places that are not allowed to plant because always are influenced by the frost, no?
Yeah, I mean, I did a tasting once in La Carrera with Matias Michelini in February in the vineyard in La Carrera. Yeah. And it was the coldest I've ever been in a vineyard anywhere in the world in February in Argentina, summer.
Yes.
It's summer.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit of, to go on, say what you're saying.
No. Another important thing that when you go up is that you can see different phases of the variety that doesn't exist in other part low altitude because disappears or you don't have the enough time to taste the grape in that part of the ripening because disappear because some of these aromas or characteristics destroy with the temperature. When you go up, you have more slow time appreciate this element. So you realize, surprise, the quantity of descriptors that appears that in other parts doesn't exist.
Yeah? Really interesting. We've talked a little bit about vintages, the last five vintages. I know that your favorite, I think, is 2017. Other people saying that 2019 is amazing. Which do you think have been the great vintages of your career, really? You know, your long career now. You've been at Trevinto, you know, over nearly 20 years, yeah?
Yeah, 20 years, yes. Mm. Well, 17 for me was amazing in all the conditions, especially in the winery. The fermentations go very well. You taste the wine after fermentation are ready. I think that 19 will be better because it's a little bit more concentrated, but we need time. 19 was kind of 17 for me, but the difference is at the moment, 17 was very ready in all the sensations, but 19 at the moment need more time in bottle and in aging, but will be one of the most interesting harvests.
So two really good vintages for people to look out for, 17 and 19, yeah? And they're probably 21 now, yeah?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, as we've said, you've been at Trevinto. This is your 20th vintage this year. I just wonder how much has the industry changed in that time, in 20 years? I mean, amazing, though, I think, isn't it?
Wow, amazing change. I think that the one of the most important changes is that we open our minds and we started to do something different in terms of to break paradigms, you know, to break our own theory, and of course to make mistakes and to discover another things. And I mean, we used to, for a recipe, to pick the grape at the end of April because it's Uco Valley, and that is completely wrong. Mm. 10 years ago or 15 years ago, you think in the altitude, and sometimes you think that is the last grape that you are going to pick, and not is true because, for example, Gualtadari, as I told you, is not a place to pick the grape in April, it's in March because the soil is completely sandy and you have another things to see, and then the looking for the expression, the real expression of each place, the real identity is related with when you are going to pick, how are you going to produce the wine, the aging, and and everything changed completely, looking for this identity. And I think the exact word is balance. We are more balanced than in the past. Because
balance in the vineyard and balance in the winery too.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Interesting. Listen, I mean, one of the things that's amazing about you is you've crossed the Andes on horseback five times, I think.
Yes.
I mean, what does that mountain range represent for an Argentinian, particularly an Argentinian from Mendoza? If you come from Buenos Aires, you don't think about the Andes so much. But what does it represent for you?
The Mendocinian people was born in Mendoza, and the mountain is in front of you all the time. It's part of your life, of course. For me, when you are in 4,000 meters altitude in the mountain, you are very small, and you realize how amazing is all that we have in our place that we live. And then you realize that our viticulture is coming from the place where we live, is coming from the mountains, because in the mountain come in the rivers that we used to feed the grapes. The soils are coming from the mountain, the altitude. So everything is related with the mountain, and it's amazing. And cross the Andes, for me, is an experience that we want to do every year, if I can.
I've only done it on, you know, in a car or in a plane, obviously. But I mean, I'd love to do it, I don't know, on a bicycle or on foot. I mean, to follow the old railway line would be amazing. You can do that, can't you, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be fun. Listen, final question. Apart from trekking and going on horseback and going to the mountains, how else do you get away from wine? Is it true that you're a bit of a musician? You like folk music, don't you, and playing the guitar?
Yes, I love the music. Another important thing in my life is music. And if you think, Tim, everything is related with the passion, wine, music, experience shared with your friend, with your family. And one of these, for me, is the music. And it's part of my life. Always. I don't see many, watch television. Music. And I like to play the guitar and sing all the time with my friends and family. Yes.
Do you write songs?
I used to write, but it's not my main talent. No,
So tell us. I mean, which Argentinian singers should we be looking out for?
Well, in Argentina we have many important singers especially in the national rock, like Fito, like Charlie Garcia. There is a very important band in the 80s that they call Serú Girán, that was the band that the revolutionized when the democracy returned. It was very important for all the people. I like the folk music that is very important in Mendoza, and it's very local. Not all the people know about folk music in Mendoza. For example, the cueca, the tonada, and one of them, the element that speak this kind of music is the wine, is the vineyard, and the people who work in the vineyard, and how powerful is the wine in their lives. And that was one of the reasons why I decided to be a winemaker, because I saw that powerful element in our culture, and I wanted to go deep in terms of discover.
Fantastic.
Why.
I think it's a very good combination. Music, wine and mountains. I mean, I've got music and wine in my life, but maybe not mountains in London, but you've got mountains. Anyway, lovely to see you. I hope the next time I'll see you, we'll listen to some music together, or maybe you'll play the guitar for me.
Yes,
great.
Of course.
We can sing together. Germán, it's been great
nice
to talk
to you again.
And I'll see you soon, I hope, in Argentina, or if not in England.
Okay. Bye, Tim, querido. Un abrazo.
Ciao.
Ciao.
Geri is such a great guy, as well as a talented winemaker. Next week on Cork Talk, my guest is Ricardo Bettig of Viña Morande in Chile. See you then. Thanks for listening to Cork Talk. If you want to read more reports, articles and tasting notes by me, go to my website, timatkin.com.
You can also follow me on Twitter @TimAtkin and on Instagram @TimAtkinMW. See you next week.